Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is June 8th, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us. And I'm going to say hi to some of you, and we're going to get started right away. I'm going to open up in prayer because we have a very special guest joining us in a few minutes for about the first 10 minutes of the broadcast. Then we're going to get into everything else that I have to cover tonight. So hello to you coming on in, I see, Michigan, Orlando, Florida, Texas. God bless all of you. Happy to have you on. Hello to our neighbors in Binghamton, New York, about 2.5 hours north of us, 3 hours north. God bless you guys. Hello. Weatherford, Texas, Madison, Alabama. Hello to you in Arkansas, Virginia Beach. Let's see who else is coming on. Okay, Callaway, Maryland, Utah, Pennsylvania. God bless all of you. Oh, let's see. I'm watching to see who else comes on in the chat. We're waiting for our international audience to come in as well. Hello to you in Niagara Falls, Canada. Blessings. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. And Illinois, I see as well. God bless you. Hello to Eileen in England. God bless you guys who watch us in England. And hello to our international audience that is now coming in. Hello to our neighbors in Queens, New York, in the boroughs. God bless you. I see Chicago, Illinois as well. Let's see. Hagerstown, Maryland. The Netherlands. Hello to our viewers in the Netherlands that are watching tonight. Very happy to have you on with us as well. And Australia, I see as well. God bless you guys. Very happy to have you on with us. And hello as well to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So I am going to open up in prayer, and then I'm going to introduce our very special, amazing guest that's going to give us behind the scenes in a way what is unfolding with what just happened with Iran and Israel over the weekend. So let's open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord, and we'll get started for tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, we come before you this day. Lord, we praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your holy, precious name. We humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short. Lord, we praise you that your mercies are new every single day. Lord, we come before your courts with thanksgiving and praise, saying your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Help us to seek your kingdom first, Lord. Teach us what pleases you today, Lord. Equip us to walk in your ways, Father. Lord, we come before you boldly but humbly to the throne of grace, Father God, acknowledging your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, came to this earth, was the Passover lamb, willingly died at Calvary, purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we praise you, Lord, that he miraculously rose again, Father God, that he blotted out ordinances. He disarmed principalities and powers. We praise you that he miraculously rose again. He is ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father forevermore, where he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, we invite your presence to move, that you have your way, Father God. Lord, let the weight of your glory, the power of your presence, Father God, the holiness of who you are, mightily go forth tonight, Lord. Let people, Lord, tangibly feel, Father God, your power moving tonight. We ask you, go before us. Be our front and rear guard. Order our steps, Lord. Order my words as we mightily go forth in you. Be our front and rear guard, Father God. Fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow us and our team, Father, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. And Father, we just ask, Father God, that you send your holy angels of all offices, rankings, divisions to surround the skies, the land above and below, north, south, east, and west, to guard against every dimensional access point in Jesus' name. That in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over every work of darkness and iniquity, plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, and command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, rendered powerless, Father God, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans, and cast back to the areas you have designated for such, Father, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent to this place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We're most simply just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath is from you. You are Yahweh. You are the breath, and we praise you for that, Father God. We give you all the glory for that, Father God. We praise you. You're our shield, our glory, and the lifter of our heads, Father. We give you all the glory tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Welcome to those of you who are jumping on during prayer. I always have to open up in prayer. I find if I just turn it over to the Lord first, things move much better than if I were just to attempt to do it in my own power. So thank you, everyone, for joining us for prayer. I have a very special guest who is, we've known each other for a while now. He's waiting in the wings, and I'm going to introduce him. Aviv Ayash is here. He is the senior advisor to the Israeli ambassador to the UN, Danny Dannon. He's going to come on, and he's going to, for a few minutes, discuss with us and give us an update after what has just unfolded over the weekend. Iran fired a barrage of missiles at Israel, and things are pretty tense right now. So let's bring Aviv on, and we're going to discuss. Hello, Aviv.
Hi. Thank you, Amanda. Thanks for hosting me. Shalom, everyone. Shalom. It's good to be with you. So as you all know, we see all the tension that is happening now in our region, in the Middle East, between Israel and Iran. So following Iran's attack on Israel, Israel also launched a military attack on Iran that we had to do. Mm-hmm. I know that now there are diplomatic efforts basically to stop the violence. Even at the UN, some of the countries that are involved in negotiations and trying to make us to take us to a ceasefire, but you still see, you know, a few minutes ago I got a messages from my family saying that there were siren sounds in Israel, you know, in the south and in the north.
Missile sirens.
Yeah. Okay. Missile sirens in the south and in the north. There were attacks from the Houthis in the south on Eilat, and also in the north from Hezbollah. You need to understand that Israel's main concern is not only about Iran's military capabilities, but it's also the support that they give to their proxies, to the terror organizations in the north, mm-hmm. like Hezbollah, and in the south, like the Houthis that yes. are supported by Iran. So you can see that Iran is now violating the ceasefire. Right,
yes.
not direct by Iran, but through their proxies in the region. We know that President Trump is involved with this. The Prime Minister said that, you know, if we'll be attacked, Prime Minister Netanyahu said that if we'll be attacked, so we'll need to react also. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is the tension that it's now in the region.
Yes.
And, you know, we at the UN working with our allies and friends at the UN to make sure that, you know, we're protecting our civilians, our people in Israel, mm-hmm. and making sure that we're keeping our interest.
So let me ask you, was what's going on in Lebanon the catalyst for Iran using the proxy to attack you? They attacked you from Lebanon, basically. So they fired from Lebanon now. At Israel, which is that something new that have you guys encountered this recently, or is this a new tactic that they're using?
So this has been going on for over 25 years now.
Yeah. Okay.
Hezbollah is in Lebanon, is a threat to the to our border on the north, been shooting rockets and missiles for 25 years now.
Yeah.
On our citizens. So it's not something new that happened, but the thing is that basically Iran wants to make this equation that if we attack their proxies, they will attack us. So they basically link the ceasefire in Lebanon with the ceasefire with Iran, making sure that their proxies are not getting hurt, that they keep their proxies in the region.
Yeah.
So basically they want to connect what happens in Lebanon and what happens in Iran. And then
Let me ask you, Aviv, because, you know, you hear to what different ambassadors and things going on down the UN. Does Iran really want a ceasefire? Do the current leadership that's in Iran?
So, you know, with Iran, it's the you have a country that is a member of the UN that basically threatened another a country that wants to eliminate another country from the map. So this has been going on for years now, since the Islamic Revolution in Iran, that basically Iran is calling for the destruction of the state of Israel that they want us to be. And this is not something new. They even say it, they publicly say it, their leadership is saying it. And even at the UN, they basically bring a lot of resolutions against Israel. This is something that we face every day.
You know, it's interesting the way this has all played out, Aviv. I've sort of paralleled this to the Book of Esther and Purim, right? And Haman sending out the decrees of destruction. And it was Benjamin, it was Mordecai from the tribe of Benjamin that wouldn't bow. And that's what triggered all. So it's very interesting, the parallels that we're watching unfold with this now. So Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, has made a very strong statement that if they fire another rocket, there's going to be an incredibly strong response.
Mm-hmm.
What have you to say about that?
So I completely support Prime Minister Netanyahu on this issue. I think we need to make sure that our country is safe, our people are safe. And you know, this threat is off the table. Of course, we will do whatever we need to do to protect our people. And if that's something that we'll need to do, we'll do it. Thank God we'll have the U.S. and President Trump on our side and biggest ally of the state of Israel.
Yes.
So I think that's important. We're fighting a war that basically, you know, we're sharing. It's not a mistake that we're best allies, because we share the same values. We share the same ideas, and I think it's important, you know, make sure that Iran and its terror organization that she funds will not have the capability to destroy the state of Israel or to be a threat to the world and the Western.
And I've went over this before, Aviva, maybe you could add to this. I've explained to our audience that the leadership of Iran believes in something called 12er Shia Islam. And I've explained to them the foundation of it. And basically, it is ingrained in them. In order to bring back the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, they have to destroy Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is you're dealing with a religious fanatical belief as well. You're trying, this is what I tell people right now. Right now, Israel and President Trump are trying to negotiate with Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening right now. You're trying to negotiate with a wild man that has fanatical religious beliefs that diametrically oppose yours. So what's the middle ground on that? With what you see in the UN every day, you could add to this.
Yeah, so as you said, you know, you have a terror organization, a terror regime that basically hijacked the country. They have a country, the terror organization that they have a country. They don't care about peace. They don't want to achieve like a peace with Israel or the West or the U.S., yeah. And I think, you know, there's still hope. You know, we have no issue with the Iranian people. It's not that we're against the Iranian people.
That's right.
We're against only the regime, only their government, only their leadership that basically calling for the destruction of other countries, and Israel in particular. So, you know, we're working with the Iranian people also to make sure that maybe one day, you know, the Iranian people will decide to replace their leadership, and we'll see a different leadership in Iran that will be able to open a relationship with us and with other countries.
Yeah, the Iranian people are actually cheering you guys in the U.S. on. They are actually right now. I mean, the protests are building within Iran. The people have had enough. And we know there's a lot of internal, there's an internal civil war going on right now with the Iranian leadership, correct? So you got the IRGC, and then you've got the other leadership in Iran, and they're basically at a civil war with each other right now, which makes negotiating even harder because you're negotiating with double-mindedness. Attempting to run the country, correct? So what do you think, Aviv, is do you think Iran is going to, do you think they're going to halt this now, or do you think they're going to try to fire another round at Israel to try to provoke Israel into having to defend themselves?
I don't think, first of all, I think they will try to provoke Israel. I think they will keep doing it. They will not stop now because this is the momentum. And, you know, once they feel that they're running out of power or they don't have much time, so they will do whatever they can, you know, to do it. And I just feel now that because they have a lot of pressure on them, they will try to do it again and make sure that, you know, this time they hit hard and will keep doing it.
And, you know, Aviv, I've been saying for... The Lord has had me saying for 6 years at least now that judgment has come to the house of the Ayatollah. Judgment has come to this regime. God has determined this regime to end. And this is why we're watching all of this, too. I think it's also to kind of shift things globally. You know, when I talk about Ezekiel 38 and the War of Ezekiel, I think that's what's doing is it's resetting the time clock on that, because I think they would have tried to bring that war in early. And so I believe this is actually resetting things back to where it should be, because the Ayatollah and its regime were trying to speed things up into a potential nuclear crisis globally. So let me ask you, because you're this one of the senior advisors, right? You are the senior advisor to Ambassador Danny Dannon. So what has his position been on this? So what was his position before Iran fired rockets, and what's his position now?
So again, you know, our position is very clear, and Ambassador Dannon is doing a great job at the UN, you know, keeping our interest, Israel's interest at the UN with other countries. You know, it's very hard for countries at the UN to say, you know, terror organization. So they always say, you know, this is, we have a responsibility as a country, we have a responsibility, but they don't say, you know, they don't call and like say, oh, these are a terror organization. They don't know how to deal with terror organization. Yeah. They always talk about, you know, international law. But so the ambassador is also always trying to make sure, you know, to make them say, you know, all this trouble is being caused because of the terror organizations, because of a country that basically supported armed groups and terrorists to destroy the state of Israel. And our message is clear. You know, we want to make sure that Iran is no more a threat to Israel. And they don't have the capability to threat Israel. So that's our message. That's what we're doing. That's what we're promoting at the UN. That's what the ambassador is doing here. So
yes. And Iran has proven their true colors, because they went beyond firing at Israel, Aviv. They started firing at Kuwait. They started firing in Dubai's direction. Yeah. They started firing at all of their neighbors that really have not been bothering with them too much. They're revealing the instability of the regime. And once you see their instability in its fullness, that's when you know what? It's got to end. This has to be put down. They have to be stopped. And that should be the end of it.
Yep, 100%.
Well, Aviv, I know you have to get to a work event, so I don't want to keep you too much longer. But if you just want to say a couple of parting words to our audience, there are people praying right now. You know, there's a lot of people interceding for this situation as well. I do believe the Lord still judges nations before his throne, and I believe Iran is one of those in this time.
Yep. I will say that we do appreciate all your prayers and support for the state of Israel and my people and my family, and we know that you're a good friend, and we really appreciate it, and thank you for your support.
Well, you're so welcome, Aviv, and thank you for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Amanda.
And that was Aviv Ayash, senior advisor to Ambassador Danny Dannon, the Israeli ambassador to the UN. We so appreciate their time because in the middle of this, let me tell you, it is pressure filled and it is busy what has been going on behind the scenes. So we very much appreciate his time coming on and just filling us in from the perspective where he is and the perspective of where Ambassador Dannon is. It's wonderful to have that perspective in the middle of what's unfolding. So I'm going to get up my notes now, and we're going to start talking about what has unfolded, because a lot unfolded over the weekend. Something else happened, too. A few other things happened besides Israel and Iran, but Israel and Iran, certainly this whole issue erupted, and the ceasefire was, for a moment there, broken. And so we're just going to get into that, and I'm going to break down prophetically for you why now. Why now? Because I had warned last week of this. I had warned that in the month of June, that is called Pride Month, we were going to see this happen. So let me get my tulit on here, and we're going to be off and running here in just a moment. If you could share this broadcast and like and subscribe, we would very much appreciate it. It does help us, and we very much appreciate our viewers doing that for us. So let's put up the first article here. Iran fires missiles at Israel for first time in 2 months. Trump tells Netanyahu not to retaliate. Okay, Iran fired a volley of missiles at northern Israel Sunday night, catapulting the region back to the cusp of an all-out war after 2 months of a shaky ceasefire, with Israel initially vowing to respond before U.S. President Donald Trump attempted to limit the fallout and keep truce negotiations with Tehran on track. Trump telling Netanyahu not to respond is like Netanyahu telling Trump, if Canada fired missiles at us, not to respond. So that's what I would equate it to. It's like, if Canada or so fired missiles at us, do you think President Trump is not going to respond? Do we really think he's just going to sit back there and do nothing? Of course not. So of course it's hard too for Benjamin Netanyahu to kind of sit there and limit his response to this aggression. Now, something interesting in this article, it says, no Israelis were hurt in the attack, which involves some 10 missiles fired in quick succession at 10 p.m. Iran said it launched missiles of retaliation for an Israeli strike on Beirut, the southern Dahiye suburb, earlier in the day, targeting the headquarters of the Iran-backed Hezbollah terror group. So they're using Hezbollah as an excuse to fire at Israel now. Now, let me show you some incredible biblical parallels here, because we're going to get into some things tonight that are going to blow your mind prophetically that we're going to talk about. 10 missiles at 10 p.m. Now, let's go to the book of Esther, because we're still involved with the book of Esther and what's unfolding with Iran and Israel. Esther has 10 chapters. Haman, within the book of Esther, the enemy of the people of God, who put out the decrees of destruction, had 10 sons. 10 chapters, 10 sons. They fired 10 missiles at 10 p.m. Now, to make it even more interesting, Mojtaba Khomeini, the now current leader of Iran, and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps that's also trying to lead Iran, let me show you what's hidden inside their names, because these are the two at civil war right now. These are the two divisions, Mojtaba's division and the IRGC. Hidden within their names, you can spell Haman, Decree of Destruction, and then Divine Reversal. I don't think that's an accident. I think that is prophetic. I think it's biblically paralleling the book of Esther right now. We're continuing to watch Purim happen in the area of Iran. Now, John 10:10 as well, right? 10 missiles, 10 p.m. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, that says the Lord, to give you life and life more abundant. Very interesting. And now here is another article that actually came out today Netanyahu says, if Iran attacks again, we'll respond with force. After the announcement that Israel and Iran will not continue their mutual attacks, that ain't going to last long. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu issues a statement. He addressed the nation on Monday following the announcement that Israel and Iran will not continue their mutual attacks, which began with Iran's launching of waves of ballistic missiles at northern Israel last night, and declared that Israel would not tolerate any further attacks by Iran. In the last 24 hours, Iran and Hezbollah have tried to impose a new equation on us, one that is intolerable and unacceptable, in my opinion, that they will fire from Lebanese territory at Israel, and we will not act. That will not happen. Not on my watch, Netanyahu declared. According to the prime minister, at the moment, the fire on the Iranian front has been contained because after we struck the terrorist regime in Tehran, it stopped attacking us. If it returns to attacking us, we will respond with force. Now, look at the banner on this article. It says Roaring Lion, right? That's their operation. This operation began the last day of February, went into March. Right, there was that prophecy, January of Justice, right, that I gave December 20th, 2025, shall lead to a ferocious February, right, Operation Epic Fury, setting up for a roar in March, Operation Roaring Lion. Now, what's interesting about this has gone into June, and I will tell you why it's gone into June, because lions hunt in a pride. Lions hunt in a pride. June is known as Pride Month. Iran attacks during Pride Month. And I'm telling you, how this is unfolding is no accident, and it is prophetic. Now, I did warn about a week and a half ago or so that if Israel went ahead with the largest Pride festival in the Middle East, there was going to be an attack. They were going to open a door. I did warn this. I warned it live. They did this, the largest Pride festival in the Middle East, they did near the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. And that would open a door. Now, we have a clip to play for you because I had said something about this, and we're going to play that for you now. Largest festival in the Middle East. Largest. Now, in the year Iran is falling for their wickedness, this wicked defiant outcry comes forth out of Israel. I'm going to tell you, Israel will endure one of their largest attacks if leadership does not come out and condemn this festival. A gate has been opened over Israel, not only for one of the largest attacks on one of their largest cities, but a woe to hit the leadership of Israel themselves. Now, that was warned, and there's still time to turn it around, but I'm saying a door and a gate has been opened because of what happened with that festival. And now it's up to the leadership of Israel to shut that door. Now, we know Israel is our prophetic time clock, okay? So Israel is the prophetic time clock for the events to come in Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. An Israel has to exist. A physical Israel has to exist for those events to occur, okay? There's a lot of controversy about how Israel started. It doesn't matter. Because we need a physical Israel. You know, the Lord took very corrupt people and things and utilized them for his purposes. And what I'm saying is, that's our prophetic time clock. That's what we need to pay attention to. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to pray and intercede because Iran is very connected to this spirit of Haman rising in the world against Israel. Iran knows Trump desperately wants this deal as well. Trump wants to make this deal. He does. He's determined to make it. And they're putting forth provocations in the middle of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There is a lucrative, and I mean lucrative industry right now in hating Israel, turning people against Israel, podcasting against Israel. You have to agree with everything Israel does. I don't agree with everything their government does. Heck, I don't agree with everything our government does. I don't agree with whatever government does in the globe right now because they're all corrupt, all of them. But there is a lucrative business that has arisen in the conservative arena that goes all the way to the bank accounts of the Middle East to stir up a spirit of Haman and hate against Israel. Mark my words, money is at the root of it. The word of God says the love of money, not money itself, the love of money is the root of all types of evil, root of all kinds of evil. And let me tell you, there is a lucrative right now business. And make no mistake, it is a business in stirring up hatred against Israel, to want to see it fall, destroyed, to want to blame them for everything under the sun. Let me tell you, their government has done corrupt things. Our government has done corrupt things. But there's a lucrative business right now globally. There is a global machine that is being spurred on by the spirit of Haman rising globally, that is making people a lot of money on the conservative side to continue to come out and go beyond disagreeing with the government of Israel. They're coming out with a visceral and a hatred for them. Now, this all happens during Pride Month. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a big fall. Now, that's what's happening. Pride is the announcer of destruction. You can't have destruction without pride. Pride paves the way. In fact, President Trump himself said just a few days ago, the reason Iran hasn't made a deal yet is because they're proud. And then in Pride Month is when the serpent rears up, that spirit rears up, and now we've got rockets again flying into Israel. Now, Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. Chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. 12 biblically has to do with government and rule. 2 through 6, 26, that's the year we're in. This is what it says. I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty is their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume all the surrounding peoples right and left, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. This is discussing Jeremiah 12, this prophecy, 2 through 6, is discussing what we're seeing globally begin to unfold. I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. To be reeling is to be angry, is to be agitated, is to be upset. This is what we are watching beginning to happen globally, what is spoken about in Zechariah 12, verses 2 through 6. Now, let's get to the madness part, because he talks about this. He's going to strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness. Now, I want to go back to December 8th, 2019. December 8th, 2019, word of the Lord. This is what it says. Iran will suffer a very public mortal wound, a gushing wound for what they have done to Israel. And I am striking Hezbollah with madness. Zechariah 12, I'm striking the rider with madness. I'm striking Hezbollah with madness. They will go mad and suffer complete disorder, says the Lord thy God this day. We are on the cusp of watching that happen. We're on the cusp right now of watching this unfold, because now what has happened from Lebanon is Hezbollah is heavily involved in attacking Israel, and they're directly attacking Israel now for Iran, as we saw happen over the weekend. Many people were sent fleeing to bomb shelters in Israel because it was a barrage of missiles. It was a large-scale attack on the part of Iran. Make no mistake about that. Now, something happened. This happened Sunday night. Something happened Saturday night that was a warning globally of what was about to take place, or should we say a 3 month or so season. Now, June 6th was the Belmont Stakes in New York. This happens the night before I ran. Now, stay with me because you're going to see where I'm going with this in a minute. Belmont Stakes happened June 6th in New York. It is the last leg of the Triple Crown, okay, where you have the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and then the Belmont. Golden Temple, I put out a short about this if you want to see this. Golden Temple wins the Kentucky Derby, is pulled out of the Preakness, comes back with Renegade for the Belmont. Golden Tempo ends up winning the Belmont Stakes Saturday night. Now, keep in mind, it's already Sunday in Israel. As this is happening, it's already Sunday in Israel. Golden Tempo's number was number 9. Commandment came in 2nd. He was 7. Renegade came in 3rd. He was 4. So you have Golden Tempo 9, and then 7 plus 4 is 11. There is your 9-1-1 moment in this race that I had warned would come. That happened in New York, and it happened on the date 6-6-2026. So you mean to tell me we're supposed to ignore the fact that on 6-6-2026, in a national race, horses came in an order that equals 9-1-1 in New York, and we're supposed to ignore all this like this is completely random. Now, I will tell you, before I continue, I believe it's in the book of Revelation. It says, let he that has wisdom calculate, for it is the number of a man and his number is 666. You can only calculate numbers. Let he who has wisdom calculate. There's an entire book in the Bible called Numbers. I think the Lord may want us to pay attention to them and pray. There's an entire book in the Bible, Numbers, and in Revelation it says, let he that has wisdom calculate. So, on 6-6-2026, at the Belmont Stakes in New York, the horses came in order to equal 9-1-1 in New York, which is ground zero for 9-11, with Zoram Mamdani as the mayor, who has the word Haman from the Book of Esther hidden in his name. In the same year, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was killed the 11th day of the 9th month on the Islamic calendar on 9-11. We watched the attack from Iran unfold the day after this happened in this race. So if you're looking at it and you're seeing 6-6-2026, 9-1-1, right? Spirit of Antichrist, spirit of Haman, 9-1-1. If you want to look at it that way, that was the message the night before Iran decided to do what they did. And then we watched this large-scale attack unfold the day after this race just happened to play out this way. Because these things come from the spirit into the natural, and they're warning signs of what's moving about in the spirit. Now, when these horses crossed the finish line, the time was already Sunday. It was already Sunday in Israel. The missiles would be launched from Lebanon to Israel that same day. Now, to make this even more interesting today, we had the Belmont Saturday with the horses equaling 9-11 in New York, right? Which is ground zero for 9-11. Comes on the cusp of not only these rockets being fired, but of President Trump is supposed to be in New York City tonight, ground zero for 9-11, for game 3 of the Knicks-Spurs final, NBA Finals, Knicks versus Spurs, New York City, ground zero for 9-11, where Mamdani, who has Haman in his name, is the mayor, and Trump's presidencies happen to equal 9-11, 45 and 47. Now, this is a prophetic picture attached to the book of Isaiah. This is a warning that we all have to pay attention to because this keeps coming up. It keeps coming up nationally. We have to pay attention to it. Now, this is a prophetic picture of what's unfolding because Trump is supposed to be in New York City tonight for game 3 of the NBA Finals, Knicks versus Spurs, along with Mamdani, who has Haman in his name in the same arena. Now, this is all attached. It's attached to what's to come. It's attached to the book of Isaiah. It's attached to what's unfolding now. So, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 11, 9-1-1. Therefore, the Lord raises against Ephraim adversaries from Rezin and spurs their enemies on. Isaiah 9:11, spurs their enemies on. So you have Belmont 9-1-1, spurs 9-1-1, New York City, Trump's presidencies equal 9-1-1, 45-47, and of all the years, the Spurs, the San Antonio Spurs, make it to the NBA Finals. It's this year, 2026, in New York City, ground zero for 9-11, with the presidencies who's with the president whose presidencies equal 9-11 attending in the year that Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, begins on 9-11. You mean to tell me this is all random? No, because this is what's coming through in the spirit. It's a warning. 9-1-1 is coming into national races. 9-1-1 is coming into the presidency. 9-1-1 is coming into Rosh Hashanah. How do you not take notice of that and realize something is coming? This is a warning. It's not only a warning for New York City. It's a warning for the nation. It's a warning for Israel. But of all the years the Spurs could make it in, it's this year. And Isaiah 9:11 says, therefore the Lord raises up Ephraim, adversaries from Rezin, and spurs their enemies on. Spurs, 9-1-1. New York City, ground zero for 9-11. Nick Spurs with the president whose presidencies equal 9-11 in the year 2026 that Rosh Hashanah begins on 9-11. I'm telling you, this is all a warning of what's moving about in the spirit. What happens is it moves about the spirit. It starts to come into the natural. It starts to seep in. And it starts to form a pattern. And it starts to form a picture. And that's where we have to be able to discern as the church and realize this is going on and understand what's moving about in the realm of the spirit. These are not accidents, that these are all lining up the way they are. It's prophetic. It's a warning. It's a warning for New York City. It's a warning for Washington, D.C. It's a warning for Texas. It's a warning for the nation. It's a warning for California. It's a warning for Israel. This is why this is all happening. What are the odds in the same year that the Belmont Stakes in New York, the horses come in that equal 9-11 in that race, and then the Spurs make it in to the NBA Finals in the same year, and in Isaiah 9-11 it says the Lord spurs their enemies on, and they're playing at ground zero for 9-11 New York City. What are the odds that those both come together in the same year? Slim to none. If it's not being orchestrated and not coming in from the realm of the spirit and not a warning that we need to pay attention to in this time. Now, let's go back to October 14th, 2024. Word of the Lord. This is what it says. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, I am weighing Israel in this hour, says the Lord. I am weighing their treachery and their righteous acts in my court. I am in my courts. I am capital, and their leader will fully yield to me, capital, says the Lord. For the yoke has been placed upon him, and he is my ox, capital, says the Lord. I am the Aleph, says the Lord. I am capital, and I will utilize him. Listen to what he says. I will utilize him, meaning Netanyahu, in this last time of his leadership, to issue a blow to the Ayatollah in which recovery for his regime will be difficult, says the Lord. They chant death, death to what I have made, death to covenants in place. And for all the death they have shouted and sowed, so in this time, that is what they so shall receive. Their time to repent has thinned to a vapor, and the Iranian regime shall be shaken and sifted. Netanyahu's the ox being utilized by the Lord in this last leg of his leadership to destroy the house of the Ayatollah, the house of Haman. This is the house of the Ayatollah, the house of Haman, that is coming down globally. And it's a prophetic sign that that spirit of Haman globally is going to fracture and fall in areas. You're going to see it fracture and fall. You're going to see it rise up and build the gallows. And then you're going to see it hung on its own gallows. In England is another place that is going to happen. It's going to happen in areas of this nation, including in New York City. Now, March 27th, 2026, word of the Lord. One, now listen, what, given what just happened this weekend, listen to this word. One more serpent, a very large one buried deep, is about to be pulled forth from Iran that has burrowed all the way to Lebanon. This was March 27th, 2026. That has burrowed all the way to Lebanon, says the Lord. This one has remained hidden until this time, says the Lord, but its hiding place shall be found, and before the world it shall be put down, says the Lord. Well, after this barrage, its hiding place has been found. Iran burrowed to Lebanon and is now firing on Israel from Lebanon. And before the world now, we will watch it be put down. Watch. This serpent, watch. May 7th, 2026, word of the Lord. Okay. The window on Iran has thinned, the weariness has set in. However, that beast and its blasphemous must be muzzled and put down. For one more, listen to this, one more sharp maneuver shall be attempted, one more subversion, one more circumventing, says the Lord, before they are subdued for a time before the earth. For in the years ahead, that chained beast shall be freed by a fool who believes he can work with such, but will feel the bite of vengeance rear up in the times of Ezekiel that are still yet to come, says the Lord. So he's saying, War of Ezekiel hasn't happened yet. It's yet to come. But one more sharp maneuver, right? One more subversion. So he says one more sharp maneuver. These may be separate events, by the way. You can't lump them in and think they're one event. One more sharp maneuver shall be attempted. One more subversion. One more circumventing. Three times. That's what it looks like in this word. Three times they shall attempt a sharp maneuver. They shall attempt to then subvert. They shall attempt to then circumvent. And then they shall be subdued for a time, Iran. So just keep that in mind as we go forth in this. Now, June 1st, 2026, in that broadcast, this is what I prophetically said. June 1st, 2026. Today is June 1st. It has been 1 year since those initial strikes, meaning the ones that happened in June 2025. We have also entered what many dub Pride Month. Pride is the announcer that destruction is imminent, because pride goes before destruction. You cannot have destruction without pride. You cannot have destruction without pride. Without pride paving the way and being the announcer of the destruction. Now, the first day of June, Iran is now cutting off talks. Iran has postured itself in defiance. It has postured itself in pride. Their regime is in an internal civil war, and it will bring their destruction. We are in a time of great reversals. This Esther Haman pattern began Purim 2025, but really hit its stride in 2026. So there's been this pattern. We've had two blood moons on Purim 2025 and Purim 2026 having to do with the book of Esther. In 2026, right before Purim, the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini was killed February 28th, 2026. This was just 2 days before Purim began. Purim 2026 was marked by a blood moon hidden within the name Ayatollah Ali Khomeini. You can spell the name Haman and Amalek. There's a pattern here with what is emerging since these blood moons marked Purim. The gallows that these wicked leaders have built for years for others are now becoming the vehicle of their own demise. They postured in pride, and pride goes before destruction. Those missiles were fired out of pride, because that's being stirred up in the earth right now. That spirit of Haman is stirring up in pride and building the gallows. Building the gallows. making a huge demonstration for all to see. That's exactly what Iran is doing. And they fell on their own gallows after they built it. And like Aviv said it. Now, he's the senior advisor to Ambassador Dannon. He would know. Israel's problem is not with the Iranian people. They don't have an issue with the Iranian people. Their issue is with their crazy leadership. Their issue is with the wild man Ishmael. That is where their issue lies. Now, Esther chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, because we're in the year 2026. I want you to listen, because there's another faction. There's another factor what's going on here that's tying into the book of Esther that I want to show you. Esther 3, verses 2 through 6. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and honored and paid homage to Haman, for this is what the king had commanded in regard to him. But Mordecai, a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, neither bowed down nor paid homage to him. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why are you disregarding the king's command?" Now it happened when they had spoken to him day after day, and he would not listen to them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's reason for his behavior would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage to him, he was furious, but he disdained laying hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him who the people of Mordecai were. So Haman determined to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, who lived throughout the kingdom of Ahasuerus. This is Esther, chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, and we're in the year 2026. Mordecai is a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin refused to bow down. There is a Benjamin currently in this world that is refusing to bow down to Haman right now. And he is the current leader of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, who I believe is on the tail end of his assignment with the Lord. I believe this is his last stretch. I truly believe that. This is his last assignment to finish. And then we're going to see Israel change hands rather quickly. I'm telling you that now prophetically. He is on the last leg. You need to pray for him. He's on the last leg of his assignment, and the enemy would love to prevent him from finishing that assignment. And if there's been all these assassination attempts against Trump, guess what's about to shift over to Israel and happen? It's about to mirror what we just saw happen in the United States of America. Now, Mordecai from the tribe of Benjamin won't bow to Haman. Esther 3:5, when Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage to him, he was furious. See, Benjamin did not bow down to Iran's demands with Lebanon. Moshtaba Khomeini, who has Haman hidden in his name, became furious. When Mordecai from the tribe of Benjamin wouldn't bow down, Haman became furious. Esther 3:6. Esther 3:6. But he disdained laying hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him who the people of Mordecai were. So Haman determined to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, who lived throughout the kingdom of Ahasuerus. Now, Esther 3:8. Then Haman said, here it is. Here's the crux of what's going on here. I'm going to show you. This is at the crux of the Iran deal, this scripture. Esther 3:8. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws. Therefore, it is not in the king's interest to tolerate them and let them stay here. This is the setup here. There's a people scattered abroad, and their laws are different from all other people, so you shouldn't tolerate them. That's, in a way, what's happening globally right now. Esther 3:8 is what we're watching unfold globally right now. The Jews abroad are dispersed among the peoples and all the provinces. Their laws are different, and it's not in the interest to tolerate them. Haman and the spirit of Haman will always make an argument why the Jews should not be tolerated in any country. The spirit of Haman will always rise up and start his argument with that. Now, why is this important right now? Why is this at the crux of the Iran deal? Well, we're going to go to Esther 3, 9 through 11 in a minute, but this is why. The negotiations between Iran and the United States have reached a deadlock, with Tehran demanding access to billions of dollars in frozen assets before any breakthrough. At the center of the dispute is Iran's demand for the release of $24 billion in frozen funds. Tehran wants $12 billion released after the initial agreement, followed by another $12 billion at a later stage. 24 is symbolic. There's a reason they want $24 billion. 24 happens to be the year Trump was reelected as the 47th president, who then took out the 47-year regime of the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini. Now, Esther 3, 9 through 11, let's go there. 9:11. This is Esther 3, 9 through 11. If it pleases the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry out the king's business to put into the king's treasury. Then the king removed his signet ring from his hand, gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. The king said to Haman, the silver is given to you and the people also, to do with them as you please. The money and the destruction of a people were a package deal. The money brings a 9-1-1 moment of destruction. And I'm going to prove this because it's Esther 3, 9 through 11. Haman says he's going to pay an enormous amount of money into, which would be over $700 million, by the way, 10,000 talents of silver, into a Persian king's treasury, which is Iran, to destroy a people. Now, let's go back to 9/11/2023. September 11th, 2023. Joe Biden and his administration released $6 billion in frozen assets to Iran. Now in the year 2026, with Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, set to begin on 9/11, and President Trump's presidency is equaling 9/11, with the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini being killed on the 11th day of the 9th month on the Islamic calendar, or 9/11, the Persian leadership wants the money paid into the king's treasury so they may move forth with the destruction of a people. Esther 3 is in the middle of this deal that President Trump is trying to make with Iran. They want the money paid into the Persian leadership's treasury, the $24 billion released into there, and then they're going to take that for the destruction of a people. Esther 3 is literally in the middle of these negotiations. Now, our election partially hinges on not doing what Biden did 9/11/2023 and releasing those funds, because we have these 9-1-1 warnings with Rosh Hashanah, with Trump's presidencies, with the death of the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini. This is one big warning. And now we have Esther 3, 9 through 11 as another warning. That is one big warning that if they get those funds at all, we are going to see that Esther 3, 9, 11 moment in the world. We are going to see, look at this, as I'm saying Esther, as I'm saying it, look who jumps up on my chair. You such a smart kitty. You such a smart kitty. As I'm talking about Esther, she appears. I don't think that's coincidence, people. Nope. I think the Lord's got a sense of humor, and Esther's part of it. And so she's here, people, as I'm talking about the book of Esther. So if they get those funds, we're going to see another 9/11. In parts of the world, because Esther 3, 9 through 11 warns that if the money is paid into the king's treasury, the people will be destroyed. This is in the middle of the Iran deal negotiations right now. This is at the crux of it. They want the $24 billion to get their hands on as much weapons as possible for the destruction of the people, and they want the 9-1-1 president to pay it into the Persian king's treasury. They want Trump, whose presidency is equal 9/11, 45 and 47, to pay that into the Persian king's treasury. The reason, you see, they're trying to negotiate with the spirit of Haman. This is what's happening. The Trump administration is trying to negotiate with the spirit of Haman within Esther chapter 3. And they have to understand how this works in Esther 3 to be able to deal with the spirit of Haman. Because you have to let Haman build the gallows. And then the Lord has to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And then Haman falls. But Esther 3, I'm telling you, is in the mix. It is in the middle of this deadlock with these negotiations. Iran cannot get these frozen funds. Cannot get these frozen funds. Haman wasn't allowed to get his funds. Iran is not allowed to get their funds. Now, let's talk about the next 3 months. I want to show you an interesting pattern here. I happened to see this in 2024, this pattern. It happened in 2024. I'm seeing it again for 2026. Here it is. In the book of Matthew, chapter 27, it says, darkness falls over the land from the sixth hour and lasts until the ninth hour. Matthew 27, 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. This is when Christ was on the cross and darkness comes over the land for that 3 hour period. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour. So hear me out on this. June on our calendar is the sixth month. September is the ninth month. Darkness comes over the land in the sixth hour. June, known as Pride Month, is where not only Israel had their largest pride festival in the Middle East ever near Sodom and Gomorrah and the Dead Sea. And 2 days after that pride festival ends, Iran fires a barrage of missiles at Israel, all during Pride Month. So darkness comes over the land in the sixth hour. And I'm talking about America too here. It lasts until the ninth hour. Our ninth month is September. September 2026 is when Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, begins on 9/11. The day the towers fell and the day the trumpets are blown will collide. Darkness comes over the land the sixth hour. It lasts until the ninth hour. Now, the Lord showed me that in 2024, that from June to September, and it was July that they attempted to assassinate President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. And the Lord had shown me that pattern in 2024. He's showing it to me again for 2026. Darkness comes over the land in the sixth hour, and it lasts until the ninth hour, which would be about a month and a half before our midterms. Now, in the midst of this, President Trump just visited Wisconsin a few days ago, in June, the sixth hour. Why is this significant for what's coming? Well, let me explain. I had talked about the connection to Reagan and Theodore Roosevelt and how they're trying to align assassinations against President Trump against other presidents that they've tried to assassinate. This is how the kingdom of darkness and their disciples are operating. Why is it important that entering the sixth hour, the sixth month, that this would be a warning? Here's why. On October 14th, 1912, former U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt survived an assassination attempt by John Schrank, a former salon keeper, while Roosevelt was campaigning for the presidency in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So they attempted to kill Theodore Roosevelt in Wisconsin. Now, Theodore Roosevelt ended up dying January 6, 1919, 7 years after that attempt. January 6 was the day that forever changed this nation when those at the Capitol were accused of insurrection, arrested, persecuted, and the intense persecution and attempts on President Trump's life went into overdrive. So that was January 6, 1919 when Roosevelt died. 1919 is the address of the Washington Hilton where President Reagan had his assassination attempt 45 years ago. 911 is in that address, and it was on Connecticut Avenue, 1919 Connecticut Avenue, that this occurred. April 25th, 2026, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, they attempted to assassinate President Trump and the high-ranking cabinet members. Theodore Roosevelt was the 26th president. So in the year 2026, at 1919 Connecticut Avenue, they attempted to kill President Trump and cabinet members. Theodore Roosevelt survived his assassination attempt, but he took a bullet. That was October 14th, 1912, while campaigning in Wisconsin. The attempt on Reagan was March 30th at the Washington Hilton. The attempt on President Trump there at the Washington Hilton at 1919 Connecticut Avenue was April 25th, within 30 days of that date. They attempted to kill Reagan. Respectively, they attempted to do it to Trump. So there's a pattern here we have to recognize, and I'm going over this again because now we visited Wisconsin, and that's no accident. This happened right now. What we don't know, we can't dismantle in the name of Jesus Christ. What we're not aware of what's going on, we can't intercede and pray and break it. So we have to be aware so we can, with precision, pray in order to dismantle the works of darkness and iniquity that they are attempting to form. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our vindication comes from you, Lord." Now, there's a pattern we need to understand here. They attempted to take out President Trump in the same place they attempted to take out Reagan, 1919 Connecticut Avenue. They started on January 6th. Roosevelt's day he died was January 6, 1919. He had an assassination attempt on him in Wisconsin. President Trump just visited Wisconsin to campaign. The assassination attempt on Roosevelt was in October. If it's within 30 days, because they attempted it on Trump within 30 days of what they attempted to do to Reagan, within 30 days would put us right around 9/11. September 11th or the ninth hour. Within 30 days before that October 14th date puts you at 9/11. Within 30 days after puts you right up before the midterms. And if darkness comes over the land in the sixth hour and it lasts until the ninth hour, that would put us right around the September 11th mark. And the fact that President Trump has just hit Wisconsin and he went to the area to campaign in the year that they tried to assassinate him at 1919 Connecticut Avenue, which happened to be the year Roosevelt died, and Roosevelt, his attempt was in Wisconsin, and now Trump has just went to Wisconsin after the attempt at 1919 Connecticut Avenue, is leading me to believe they're trying to align something to take him out, aligned with the attempts on former presidents. So because those attempts didn't work in the past, they're trying to realign times, dates, areas, cities, events in order to try to get the outcome they didn't get the first time. So I believe what's happening is they're trying to align what's happening with him to harm him with the attempts on former presidents. Because Roosevelt, Reagan, and Trump and these attempts are all intertwined. And now June is the sixth month, and darkness has come over the land in the sixth hour, because that is when Iran as well has reared up in pride, and they have fired rockets at Israel 2 days after Israel reared up in pride and had the largest pride festival in the Middle East near the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah once stood. And it goes to the ninth hour, which is when September 11th would be. And July is in the middle of that three-month window. And July happens to be our 250th. Anniversary as a nation. You see, all this is lining up this way. It's no accident. It's not an accident. It's not random how this is all lining up. This is all lining up because the kingdom of darkness has an agenda to accomplish. They have disciples that get marching orders, and they set out to try to open gates and doors with leaders and nations by aligning events of the past in order to try to align them to reopen that gate to that event to actually accomplish it in the future. And I believe this is what's happening with this right now. And I believe this is why Trump ends up in Wisconsin after being at 1919 Connecticut Avenue, and they attempted to kill him there. And then he goes to Wisconsin after Roosevelt died January 6, 1919. And then he had the assassination attempt 7 years prior to that in October in Wisconsin. So I don't believe these are random. I believe they're meant to look random. They don't want you to put this together because then you can intercede, pray. We as the body of Christ can come together and we can dismantle the plans of darkness and iniquity in the name of Jesus Christ. So they don't want you to see this, and they don't want you to think it's connected. It is connected. They want to bring full circle these events against these other presidents, and they want to try to align it with President Trump. And this is why 911 keeps popping up. The first time the Lord woke me up about this, it was April of 2023. I believe it was April, it was either April 2023 or April 2024. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the Lord woke me up at midnight, and he said to me, Trump was the 45th president. He's now running to be the 47th president. So it might have been April of 2024. 4 + 5 = 9, 4 + 7 = 11. 911, Amanda. 911 is the first time that was spoken to me. And we have watched this warning come over and over and over again with this man. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. The 9/11 president right now is going to be in the ground zero for 9/11, New York City, with Isaiah 9/11 at play because the Spurs are in the finals. It's not an accident that in the sixth hour, darkness comes over the land and we watch a barrage of missiles be fired and a 2-month ceasefire gets broken. And it lasts until the ninth hour, and September happens to be when 9/11 happens, and Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, begins on 9/11. It's all interconnected. And we as the church, the demonic is precise, it is diligent, it is strategic, okay? They are persistent. Hi, Buster. Buster just lost his blanket. They are persistent. They want you to think it's random. They want you to think it's not connected. They want you to think that none of this is connected or matters. But we as the church need to understand we are in a heightened level of sophisticated warfare right now. And that we have to understand that the enemy has deployed strategies now and gone to levels and deployed weapons that we as the church have to rise the occasion and learn how to engage, deal with, and expose. You see, the problem is half the church wants to remain in the superficial and they don't want to actually look at things like this and realize what the kingdom of darkness is doing. You know what that makes you? Completely ineffective. A completely ineffective soldier. The enemy has launched one of the most sophisticated levels of warfare that we have ever seen in this nation. And we better start becoming wise to his devices. It is said in the New Testament, we cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. When you are ignorant, you are ineffective. When you are ignorant, you become a liability. When you are ignorant, you are complacent. We cannot be those things right now as the church. How is the world going to come to us and see an all-knowing, almighty, one true living God if we don't even know what time it is? How is the world going to look at that and say, I want to come to the Lord. I want to come and make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Wow, they're really discerning what's going on. They see things I can't see. How are we going to do that if we don't know what time it is as the church? If we don't see what the world can't? If we don't have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, to speak things that affects the world so profoundly that they realize Almighty God is speaking and Almighty God is revealing these things. And I better run under his cover because it's getting crazy out there. If the world thinks the church is confused and we don't know what time it is, why would they ever want to come serve a God of a confused people? Why would they ever want to serve a God of a confused people? Of a confused, complacent, superficial, nonsensical people? Why would the world want to come to that? They're already dealing with that in the world. No. You want them to say, these people have eyes to see and ears to hear what I can't. They have an Almighty God who they're serving that actually speaks to them, is living and active, actually speaks through his word, actually is the revealer of the secrets within the earth, is the revealer of the times and seasons. And I want to understand what time it is. If we don't show that to the world, all we look is confused, scattered, superficial, hypocritical, and nonsensical. And that's what at least half the church has become in the midst of this. Saying Jesus loves you and demonstrating the true power and infinite wisdom of Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, are two totally different things. We could tell the world Jesus loves them all we want, but if we look totally confused to the world and not together, why are they ever going to believe it? This is where the church has to mobilize and realize we are on a mission. We are on a military mission. We are soldiers of the army of the living God. We have the full armor of God. We have weapons of our warfare that are not carnal. It's about darn time. We pick them up and we use them. And the world sees us use them. And the world sees us fight this war spiritually. And the world sees us expose the works of darkness and of iniquity and pull the cover off of it and reveal the plan to the enemy, that the scales fall from their eyes and they actually see how deceived they've been. This is what we're called to do. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Are you listening? Or have you put him in the confines of a box and told him he can't come out till you're good and ready? Right, Esther? That's right. Esther's ready for the Holy Spirit, aren't you, honey? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. The kingdom of darkness is a very sophisticated network, but Almighty God's network is far superior. It's about time we plug into that. It's about time we understand heaven's system of court, of judgment, of allocation, of wisdom. It's about time when it said to John in the book of Revelation, come up here, come up higher, come from my perspective, John, and see what I see. You can't see from your perspective what I see. Be willing to come up higher, John, so you can see what I'm seeing as the Lord, who's already in the future, calling us from to the present into the future things. So we as the church have to realize that the world does not want to come to a God that they believe is bipolar, scattered, confused, with an army that is completely unmobilized, completely weak, and completely useless. Why would the world want to come to that? We better realize that. The world is watching. And are we willing to look peculiar for a minute? Are we willing to look like fools for the Lord and be redeemed by what happens? Are we really willing to speak what the Lord wants us to say? Are we willing to do what he wants us to do? Are we compelled enough in this time? Because if we're not, the enemy has gotten a great advantage. And the remnant rising is what needs to happen right now. In the midst of this, there needs to be a remnant that rises. It doesn't always take a majority to defeat evil. It takes those who are submitted to partnering with Almighty God, His plans, His purposes, His way, and that becomes the majority that defeats what appears to be an evil majority. Over and over again, Gideon, David, over and over again, the minority became the majority because they partnered with the ways of God, not their ways, His ways. That's what David spoke to Goliath, so that all the earth may know that the battle is the Lord's and He will hand you over to us. It's about time we be filled with the brazenness and the faith of a shepherd boy that was so mature in his faith that he made the king look like a moron. And that's the truth. He made Saul look like a moron, look like a misguided, misdirected, superficial, prima donna of a man in the middle of that battle. So we have to take inventory and realize that we are at a very real war. We are at a heightened level of sophisticated warfare. The enemy is using sophisticated tactics. He's using sophisticated events and sequences of events to try to bring the fullness of His plans, His purposes, to try to destroy America and stop the plans and purposes that that Almighty God has for this being a proponent of the gospel to the nations and a defender of God's interests in the earth. So Almighty God can use nations to be defenders of His interests within the earth. You see, it's not America first. It's God first. David's platform that he ran on was God first. America first doesn't always work, because if God puts you in office, it's God's agenda first. And sometimes God cares beyond things than your gas prices. Sometimes the Lord has greater things to accomplish in the earth that may help your gas prices at some point, but He doesn't always completely care about your gas prices. He says He'll provide your needs, but He's got way bigger things going on in the earth right now that He needs to confront and deal with, which eventually will help those things. But if it's God first, and what He wants first, then He will bring into order everything else. Everything else will fall into place in back of that. And we need to realize that. We need to realize that, and we need to realize the hour we're in the middle of what we see materializing right now within the earth. Something interesting on the ceiling, Esther? I don't know, something very interesting on the ceiling she's watching in the midst of this. So let me just say a few more things here before we close it out for the evening. I have to show you all something. So if you could stay on just a few more minutes here, I'm going to get this up to read this to you, because this was so adorable. I just couldn't. So my pastor, Pastor Sam Edwards, and his wife Jamie, he's been on our nights of prayer, Pastor Sam, of the Gathering of Faith Assembly, have two adorable children, Caleb and Ellie, and they're young. And they came to the sanctuary to have a day at the sanctuary for their homeschool. And we took them all around both properties and to teach about all the animals, and we did all of that. So Ellie wrote a story about it, I guess, for one of her assignments. It was creative writing. So she decided to write about Wally, our ornery 44-year-old African gray parrot. So I just want to read to you what Ellie wrote after her day at the sanctuary. My pet bird Wally is 44 years old and loves to talk to men. Which is true. Wally likes men more than he likes women. One day, my friend Chris goes to visit Wally and saw that he escaped. Wally was playing near the food. Chris felt happy and glad. By Ellie. So that was Ellie's creative writing for, and the one thing she remembered, which is funny, is that Wally likes men. I told them, parents have preferences. Wally likes men more than he likes women. Molly likes women more than she likes men. And so it's hysterical that she incorporated it into the account that she wrote. And this is why you gotta love what kids write. You gotta love what they say, because they have zero filter. And I think it's absolutely fabulous. So Ellie, thank you so much for that wonderful story about Wally. Caleb, too, I'm sure, had plenty of things to write about the animals here at the sanctuary. We have a bunny named Caleb, so he was particularly lobbying to make sure that Caleb, the new bunny, was coming to the new property with us, just so you all know. He was lobbying to make sure that bunny was coming. Okay, we have a dog that needs a home as well. Okay, this is a Great Pyrenees, 2 years old, needs to be on a farm or with a family with a lot of property, would do well with a family. They are wonderful with kids. They are wonderful with families, these dogs. They're wonderful with livestock. Very sweet boy in Ennis, Texas. If you could text Sherry, if you can help get this dog a home, he was a stray that Sherry is trying to help. 214-929-9592, please, if you can help. We will even help you. If you adopt him, we will help you with your first vet visit, and we will help you get some supplies, actually. So if you adopt Ennis, please email us at hello@arkofgrace-ministries.com if you adopt him, with proof that you've adopted him, and we will gladly help you with his vet visit, and we will gladly help you with some supplies. Also, we're going to put up Brace for Impact. This is Brace for Impact. This book prophetically goes all the way up to 2028. 5 rare prophetic events that will trigger a spiritual tipping point. You can go to arkofgrace.org, click on Brace for Impact. It'll take you to Amazon. You can buy it there, Barnes & Noble, Christian Books, everywhere books are sold. I prophetically deal with the events that we are about to face from 2025 all the way to 2028. It is a prophetically charged book. It's a powerful book. We praise the Lord. It's been a top seller. And so if you haven't gotten it, if you've got people in your life who know something's going on, but they can't understand what's going on, this is a great book to give them to begin to understand the prophetic and what's going on globally. And this is how it looks. So when you get Brace for Impact, this is exactly how it's going to look when it comes. I happen to keep a copy on my desk. And also, before I do the two other things, I just want to do this because I keep getting prompted by the Lord and I have to be obedient. If you've been listening tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have never given your life over to Him, or you have walked away and you have felt the conviction tonight of the Lord calling you back to Him, we want to encourage you right now to pray with us. This is a starting point, okay? So every relationship has a starting point. This is a starting point, and we want to help you do that. If you have felt the conviction and the power of God tonight, and you know you're being called to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray with you right now. And we want you to email us, hello@arkofgrace-ministries.com, if you do this, because we'd like to help you with some resources, even get you a Bible if you need a Bible. So this is what I would say to repeat. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you today as a sinner, understanding I need a Savior, understanding that Christ died on the cross, paid the price in full for me, purchased me by the shedding of His blood, and redeemed me and reconciled me back to you. I acknowledge that sacrifice today, and I ask that Jesus Christ comes into my life, comes into my heart, and I make Him my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I surrender to you, Lord, to make me a new creation in Christ. If you have prayed that, please email us. If you walked away from it and you have rededicated your life to the Lord, or if you've never and you have given your life over to the Lord tonight, we would love to be able to communicate with you. Please email us. I think it's so important that people come to Christ in this hour. I think it's important we work the harvest. I think it's important we understand what's going on in the world, and the birth pangs are happening. And we, as the servants of the Most High God, should be calling people to repent in this hour, to repent and turn, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Praise the Lord. So, We're also going to put up Givaderm. This is Givaderm. It is an amazing all-natural skin collection. We actually created the Amanda collection together. This is my favorite Givaderm products. You get a TSA travel bag. You get a bookmark with the Armor of Prayer that is personally signed by me. You get a makeup towel. You get an Ark of Grace sticker. You get a beautifully wrapped box as well. These are all my favorite products that I use daily. This is an incredible all-natural skincare line. In the age of skincare being filled with chemicals, this is something you can be confident in. Created by women who love the Lord, that you can use this and it truly is food for your face. It's wonderful for you. It works amazingly. I use it twice a day. My husband, Chris, uses their products as well. And if you would like to get this, you could go to giveaderm.com and use promo code ARC10. You'll get 10% off your entire order. You can use that promo code over and over again. Or you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, click on Givaderm, and you can go from there into Givaderm. Website makes an amazing gift as well. They have, I think, a Father's Day celebration as well. Celebrate the men in your life. If your men love self-care, well, then Givaderm is the products for you. You buy a facial addition system, you choose two free gifts for him. The Pits Me Off, which is an amazing all-natural deodorant. The bar soap, which Chris loves. He actually travels with it as well when we travel. The lotion he also uses. And the bamboo mist, which I'm telling him is good for his beard. So the ladies at Givaderm have been trying to get my husband Chris to use the bamboo mist, because apparently it works wonderful on beards for the men in your life that want to go a little duck dynasty. So that's something that you can look into as well. And we have Kiwi Strong also. Yes, we have used the pain patches on Toby. You can use it on your pets. This is pain relief, and this has solutions to other things that we go through. As you can see, you say pain relief, weight loss, anti-anxiety. And it is a natural alternative to Big Pharma. So if you're looking for a natural alternative to Big Pharma and you want to give QE Strong a try, you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, click on QE Strong, use promo code ARC for a discount, as well as they have a portable red light therapy wand that you can actually take with you and you can actually use on the parts of your body. Red light therapy, they're finding more and more out about it. That's absolutely incredible. So if you want something more natural to help you with what is going on with you and your body, you can check out QE Strong today. So thank you everyone for joining us tonight. We thank again as well Aviv Ayash for joining us tonight. We know they're very busy over there and we appreciate him coming on in order to update us on the situation unfolding with Israel and Iran. So we want to encourage you in the word as we close tonight. We want you to armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. We have other Psalms on the screen for you, as well as Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I speak those scriptures every single evening before bed, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. I have incorporated that daily into my prayer life. We have Hebrews 11 there for you, and also Esther chapter 3 and Zechariah 12. We encourage you to go read those as well in the midst of what we see unfolding globally. We always want to encourage you in the word as we close. So we are going to be back on live on Friday. We may be putting out a video in between because I have a word from the Lord that I'm going to be releasing also. But we will be back on live Friday this week, as well as putting out shorts. So we hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to our moderators and our Ark of Grace team. Keep the faith. We'll see you later on this week.